my producer guy, Daniel Pinto Gunderson, is on the NFL payroll this week. What are you doing playing this?
What? This is like an NFL film song here.
I know. What are you doing?
Doesn't this not get you excited for the Super Bowl?
No, it really doesn't. It sounds like something from the 1960s or 70s. And now I'm expecting John Facenda to come in and talk about the frozen tundra.
I have no idea who that is.
It was the voice, the deep voice, the guy that did all the voicing for NFL films. How young are you?
24.
You've never heard of John Facenda before?
Well, I've heard his voice. I just didn't know the guy.
You need to read more, okay? Get off the internets.
I'm playing video games too much.
Get off the video games, start reading a little bit and start learning a little bit. Folks, welcome back to the second hour of the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KF Show. And learn important stuff, like what's the name of the guy that does the voices for old NFL films? John Facenda. Speaking of somebody who would know that and know everything about the NFL, or at least tell us he knows everything about the NFL, let us go to the greater New York City area. I'm not sure if he is in New York or New Jersey right now, but let's tie in with Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune newspaper and 1500 ESPN out of the Twin Cities. You can follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Suhan Strib. Hello, Suhan Strib. How are you?
Your conversation with the teenager running your board reminds me of the conversation I had with Earl Thomas this week. I was working on a piece on how Pete Carroll constantly refers to Bud Grant. And I went up to Earl Thomas, the great Seahawks safety. I said, how often does Pete Carroll talk about Bud Grant? You know, it's kind of making sure this wasn't just a storyline. And Earl Thomas said, oh, man, he talks about that Bud guy all the time. Bud, he's a Minnesota guy, right?
That Bud guy. Yeah. It's about, and Pinto, you do know who Bud Grant is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What did he used to do in life?
He used to coach the Vikings.
Thank you very much. Thank
you. And he was great on Mary Tyler Moore.
A curmudgeonly editor. We all love those guys. It's fantastic. So are you in New York or New Jersey? What's your schedule here for the Super Bowl? Are you hanging out or what are you doing?
New York. The last few, I got in Tuesday night, Wednesday and Thursday, bussed over to Jersey to do all the interviews. Today we're staying in New York. Today we went down to Lincoln Center to listen to Goodell and the coaches do the last press conference. And also Mike Grant, who won the National High School Coach of the Year Award. Got to talk to him for a while at that ceremony. And now just kind of cranking stuff out for the weekend. Back in the hotel room, cranking stuff out for the weekend.
No, Mike Grant is Lou Grant's kid, right? Is that who Mike Grant is?
Or Ulysses.
One of them.
They're all one big family.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go any further, we've been laughing the last couple of days about you having to interview people on a boat on the Hudson River. What was the story with, why were you on a boat doing interviews? What's that all about?
The Seahawks, we went to their hotel and they went to ballrooms and that's where we did the interviews. For some reason, I think it was just the hotel the Broncos were staying at just didn't have great ballrooms or available ballrooms. So they had this little, like, almost a ferry, I guess, more, you know, like a three-tier ferry docked right by their hotel. And they walked over there and came in there, and that's where we did our interviews. That's the thing about this, you know, I'm actually writing about this for tomorrow's paper. Most places you go, the Super Bowl consumes everything within sight. You know, if New Orleans are hosting the Super Bowl, then that is the event. It just consumes everybody's life. It is what everybody is talking about. You know, everybody's wearing something that reveals the Super Bowl is there. There's great civic pride. This is very, very different here. New York doesn't really give a damn, and Jersey is jealous that New York's getting the credit that New York doesn't really even want.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. Do you like covering the Super Bowl? Because I've not had the opportunity or the sentence to cover one before in my lengthy and storied sports writing career that's no more. Do you like doing this?
I actually do, because I find that there's always something, you can always find something to write about. And a lot of people complain about it. Kind of, you hear people think, "Oh, I have to write about Peyton Manning," and "Oh, I have to write about this," and they recite like the eight cliched stories that you know you think you are forced to write about. You know, when we come here, especially in the modern age, where you don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like I need to write a Richard Sherman column because I know that if people wanted to read about Richard Sherman, they've already had the opportunity. So I can come here and I can find something of a local angle. You know, last year I wrote a lot about Matt Burke This year, I'm talking to, you know, Jack Del Rio, who I covered as a player, and Daryl Bevel, who I covered as a Vikings offensive coordinator. And, you know, I am writing a Manning piece, a big picture piece for Most Around What It's Like to Be Here in New York. I mean, there's just always something interesting. And quite often there are local angles that are really interesting. And the access here, you know, everybody looks at Tuesday media day and thinks, okay, that's what covering the Super Bowl is like. That's not. That's the one day they let all the loonies come in and make fools of themselves. Wednesday and Thursday, you know, like Wednesday and Thursday, I talk to people with Vikings roots or Vikings connections or Minnesota connections, and you actually get a chance. I had a long talk with Daryl Bell, you know, where you can actually have a human conversation. And today I ended up, you know, over there talking to Mike Grant for half an hour. I mean, to me, every time I cover a Super Bowl, something of local interest pops up.
Jim Suhan, Star Tribune newspaper and 1500 ESPN, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. He is at the Super Bowl in New York City / New Jersey. The football game is actually at the Meadowlands. What's the name of the field now? It's not the Meadowlands
anymore. MetLife Stadium.
MetLife Stadium. What's the weather supposed to be like? Rainy? Crappy? What?
It's amazing. The forecasts have gotten better. Each day we've gotten closer. I mean, it's been cold here this week. I love New York, and it's just not a good week to walk around New York. It's freezing here. But there's supposed to be like 40s and maybe like 10% chance of rain. So most likely they're going to be very playable conditions. And I think the NFL is lucking out because I have a buddy who works for the New York Daily News who was reporting earlier this week that there were internal discussions about moving the game if they felt like it was going to be just a log jam trying to get in and out of the stadium.
Are you a fan of the outdoor cold weather Super Bowl? Because I am not. I don't care if it's New York City or any place else. I'm a big fan of warm weather Southern Super Bowls or, of course, Dome Stadium Super Bowls, because I could never say I'm not in favor of that because we're going to get one in Minnesota in a couple of years. But do you like the outside cold Super Bowl?
No, I think it's silly. There's really no reason for it. And the people who say the football should be played in elements, well, you know, football was not invented to be played the last week of January or the first week of February. Football was invented to be a fall sport. It was a fall sport, and because the NFL became so popular, the season got lengthened and the playoffs got lengthened. All of a sudden, here we are in, you know, late January, early February. But that wasn't the intention ever. I feel like when you're trying to decide who the best team is, you want conditions that allow the teams to decide the matter, not the weather to decide the matter. I think it would be a real shame if Peyton Manning lost the Super Bowl because he couldn't feel the ball. You know, I'm happy. You know, let him win or lose on his own merits. Let's not have the weather determine.
Who's going to win? Is it going to be the Broncos or the Seahawks? Give me your prediction.
Before the season ever started, I picked Seahawks over Broncos in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And I'm going to have to flip on that.
What? Don't go away from it. No, if you pick before the season, just stick with it.
I know, but predictions are stupid to begin with. And that was my stupid prediction before the season started. And my stupid prediction today, though, after having analyzed it and talked to people, I just think that as good as the Seahawks defense is, it does have flaws. And its flaws can be exposed if you spread them out the way the Broncos are sure to do, and if you get rid of the ball quickly, and if you can run after the catch, I just think you give Peyton Manning at this stage of his career with these receivers, these options, 2 weeks to study a defense, he's going to expose their flaws. And of course, I'm saying this assuming the weather will allow him to throw the ball decently, and that his receivers can catch the ball in the conditions. Yeah, I think if the conditions are decent, Peyton Manning finds a way to beat this defense.
Does he have to win? Does Peyton Manning have to win this to secure his legacy? That's been one of the cliched talking points of the week is if he loses it, then he's just another quarterback who's only won one Super Bowl. Does he have to win to be an all-time great? I don't think that he does. He is an all-time great. He's proven himself time and time again. Whether he wins or loses the single game makes no difference to me in his eyes, whether he's a great quarterback. What do you think?
I don't think there's a simple answer to that. I think it's much more complex than people want to make it. What if he put up 35 points and played great and completed 90% of his passes and he lost because the Seahawks returned two kickoffs for a touchdown? You know, I mean, there are ways he could play great and lose. So I can't say that a loss would diminish him. Here's the way I look at it. If he loses, it will nag at him. He will be 1-2 in Super Bowls. He didn't play very well in the Super Bowl that he lost previously. He's lost some big games in his career that he seemed to have within his control. So a loss would be somewhat problematic if he's trying to established himself as the greatest ever. He's already one of the greats, but if the argument is he needs to win to establish himself as the greatest ever, I might buy into that. If he wins, man, now he's won a cold weather Super Bowl. He has won. He's become the first quarterback ever to win two Super Bowls. Super Bowls with two different teams. If he plays another year and a half, 2 years, he'll probably have all the major passing records. You know, a win would put him on track to being the greatest, maybe the greatest football player ever. A loss, it wouldn't diminish his career, but it would maybe keep him away from that one superlative.
Are you going to Sochi? Are you going to the Olympics when this is done?
I'm not. Chip Scoggins is going to do that. I'm doing Super Bowl and a couple trips to spring training, so I win.
Yes, you do. And I'm making a trip to spring training, too, so I win, too. And so is my teenage producer. He's going with me this year. It sounds like maybe that might happen, so we all
win. Make sure you bring the car seat on the plane.
Perfect. Thank you, Jim. Enjoy the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you bet. Yes. Jim Suhan, Star Tribune newspaper.